Before we begin, let's spend a bit of time praying for those who are not well. Wei Hui's twins, babies, they're still in hospital. They're not well, so they're not gaining weight. So we want to especially pray for them. Liang Chou is not well. Carissa is not well. Okay, their name's a bit confusing. Older one is Carissa, Christabel, and Caris. Okay, so we'd like to take a bit of time to pray for them this evening. Let's also pray for those who are taking O levels and A levels. It's always a stressful time for them. I think we all have gone through that. So let's take a bit of time to remember them in prayer. And if you can, the next few days, the next 2 weeks, let's remember them in prayer. Let's also remember Pastor as he ministers in Myanmar this week. Okay, and all those who are traveling, let's remember them in prayer too. But let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We ask dear Lord that you will hear our prayers as we bring our petition to you this evening. We ask dear Lord that you will be with Christabel and Clarice, that Lord you will help them, Lord, to gain weight. We pray dear Father that you will especially watch over them, be with the parents as well, grant them grace and strength, Lord, as they continue to look after the twins. We also remember those who are taking exams, O-levels and the A-levels. We would like to specially pray that you will grant them grace, strength, stamina to last out the exam period, help them to do their very best for you. We also remember Pastor, that Lord, you will strengthen him and empower him as he ministers to our brethren in Myanmar. And we also want to remember those who are traveling, that you will specially protect each one and bless us even as we take up your word. Once again, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening we are going to study Psalm 18. And Psalm 18 is a very familiar psalm for many of us. We have heard it preached at the morning worship service. We have been taught this many times, and it's always good to go back to it and then, you know, re-look at it again. Okay, and Psalm 18, it is a song of love to God. It is a psalm where David declares his love to God, and he wrote a beautiful psalm as his expression of love to God. And it's always good to ask ourselves whether we take the time to express, to declare our love to God. You know, sometimes we're so busy, we pray with reference to all the things that we want to, but we don't take the time to tell God that we love him, or express that love to him. And David, even though he's king, and he must have been very, very busy, yet he will take the time to express his love to God in a very special way. For David, he declared his love personally, openly, poetically. And he took the time to write psalms to express his love to the Lord. And this was a very special moment. You know, couples take the time to express their love for each other. You know, nowadays when they want to get engaged, or the man wants to pop the question, they will go through this elaborate thing to get others to be involved, decorate, you know, places, trees, and then bring the bride-to-be to the place, surprise, surprise, and and there's a declaration of love to this person. And there's so many people involved. I mean, that's fine with me, but during my time is here. Yeah, well, it's different today. And you know, people take the time to declare their love to each other. And then you see it on Instagram, Facebook, and so on. How about us when it comes to God? Do we take the time? Do we take the effort? What great lengths would we go to express our love to God? You know, David took the time. He made the effort. He wrote this long psalm, 50 verses, to express his love to God. The first line is his declaration of love. The other 49 verses expresses why he loves God. And it's a beautiful psalm. And we will take several sessions. I don't think we'll finish this by next week. Okay, next week will be the last prayer meeting. And we will study this again. And, you know, it'll be good for us to, even as we end the year soon, to ask ourselves whether we take the time, take moments. When God hears our prayers, when God does something for us, when God is there for us, and God has granted his grace, his mercies, his strength, especially looked after us, answered our prayers. Do we take the time, take those special moments to just express our love to him? Personally, openly, gratefully. And Psalm 18 is one of those moments where he expresses his love to God in a very special way. There is depth in his declaration. He takes the time to think through what he wants to say. And so he declares his love to God. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. So he declares his love. There is a future idea. It's not just something that he does at the moment, but it's something that he determines to do in the future. So there's continuity in his mind. He wants to love the Lord, not just for the moment, not just for the near future, but for the rest of his life. And you can see that he has sought to do that. Every time when the Lord does something for us, will we take the time to just appreciate and declare our love to him and express our love to him? Turn with me to 2 Samuel 22. And in 2 Samuel 22, we see the same psalm, very similar. In 2 Samuel 22. Now, in 2 Samuel 22, there are some differences. And one obvious difference is that in 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, there is no mention of the love. Right? He begins with, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Okay? So the first part is missing. So Psalm 18 is not written. Now, the question is, when was this psalm written? Now, it looks like as if it is at the end of his life. Okay, in verse 1, it says, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song, on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, 'The Lord is my rock.'" Okay? Now, most probably, this psalm was not written at the end of his life. It is most probably written halfway through, when he first became a king, when he was delivered from the hands of Saul and he became king and there was peace in the land, he wrote this psalm. Okay, if you read this psalm, Psalm 18, and in 2 Samuel 22 and in 2 Samuel 23, when we actually read the last words of David, now these were actually the last words of David, there is a difference. In Psalm 18 or in 2 Samuel 22, we read of how David speaks of many things, about how the Lord has rewarded him according to his righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. The Lord has recompensed me with the devious. You will show yourself shrewd. He goes on to talk about how the Lord is going to be a shield for him. There is still fighting that's going on. Okay? And the Lord lives, blessed be my rock. He is my tower of salvation to his, he is a tower of salvation to his king, shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. But when we look at 23, there's a change. There's a slight change. He talks about how the Spirit of God has come upon him. The rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He talks about how he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises. Wow, a morning without clouds, like the tender grass spring out of the earth by clear shining after rain. But then in verse 5, he says, although my house is not so with God. There's a difference. Okay, so there's a difference between 22 and 23. Can you see the difference? And he knows that his children are not going to walk with God the way he did. Okay? So now when we come to Psalm 18, most probably it is halfway through his life, after his when he began his reign. Okay? And we can see that 2 Samuel 22 is a historical account. Okay, this was the original product. He started with that. But when we come to Psalm 18, we see it is poetry. Okay, so he added on to 22, 2 Samuel 22. Can you see that? So when it comes to Psalm 18, we see a development. Okay, the idea of love was something included by David at a later stage as an expression of his song to God. And that's why there's a difference. That's why the love is now included. Can you see? And so Psalm 18 is a product of poetry and love. And so he included this idea. I will love the Lord my God, my strength, the Lord my strength, okay? And so this is a fulfillment of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And that's something for us to really consider. You know, do we really love the Lord with all our might, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength? And so when you look at David, even though he's an imperfect person, I mean, he lied, he was bloodthirsty, there were many sins in his life. And yet, can an imperfect person like David offer love to God? Show love to God? Yes. And that's something that we see in Psalm 18. We see an imperfect man, yet he's expressing his love to God. And David is a person who is known as a man after God's own heart. In Acts 13, verse 22, we read of how he was considered a man after God's own heart. The reason is because he sought to do the will of God. Despite his sinfulness, his deep desire within his heart was that he wanted to do the will of God. He struggled with his sins, and yet, every time he sinned, he would return back to God. And he had a heart for God. Okay? And that's our challenge. Our challenge is to have a heart for God too. Okay? Now, let's go back to Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, we read of how there was a discovery of God along the way. As he saw who God was in his life, you know, he responded with love. And so we see this whole series of characteristics of who God is. The Lord is my rock, my strength, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, how should we see this? Now, if we can categorize this different many aspects about God in three categories. The first one is God as our protection. Okay? We can see God as the rock. The rock here is the idea of a strong natural support, foundation. Okay, the Lord is my rock. Another thing you can look at is my fortress, something that is built up until it is formidable. My fortress, defense, a formidable defense. My shield, protection. Okay, God protects as a shield. Okay, my stronghold. Stronghold is like a high tower, a place that is lofty, and it protects. It is a place where it's a temporal refuge that David needed from time to time. And he learned to build strongholds in the wilderness. Okay? And so we can see, actually, as he discovered God as a protector, there are layers to it. Can you see? There is depth to it. One category, and there are layers. There are layers by which he is able to discover God as a person who protects him. So as he saw God, as he related to God, God related to him as protector in these four different ways. So as he related to God, he began to discover actually God, there are layers to God. There are layers by which we can develop that relationship with God. And this is only one category, one aspect of God. Can you see? So God as our rock, that's foundational. That's, you know, he's the solid rock, a rock face, a cliff, right? And then on top of that, you can build on it to become a fortress. So that's another level of knowing God. God is my fortress. Then God is a shield, totally protect, a shield. And then he is my stronghold. A stronghold has the idea, every time David, when he returned from fighting with Saul and the soldiers, he will always return. The word that is mentioned, he will return to his stronghold at night. It's a place where he could rest, a place he could find refuge, a place where he could find security. You know, and that's wonderful to be able to see how David was able to relate to God in layers. Same thing, when we relate to God, are there also layers? Or is it just one straightforward, okay, God protects me, God protect me today, that's it? No, there's more to it. There are layers that we can discover, that we can discern, that we can experience in our life if we know how to relate to God. And so for David, he was able to see these layers of relationship, layers by which he can relate to God. You know, another category is that he saw God as Savior. Okay? In verse 2, he says, "My deliverer." It was God who delivered him from all the problems and the difficulties that he had. In verse 2, we read, "The horn of my salvation." The word horn here is the idea of power. Okay, so God is a deliverer. Salvation here is, of course, the idea of deliverance. Physical deliverance, physical salvation. And another aspect is the power behind that deliverance. Can you see? Layer upon layer. And then we see this idea of another category, strength. My God, my strength. So God is the source of his strength. Now, as we study this Psalm 18, we will see many aspects of God as strength. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. You know, there will be layers again. There will be many different aspects that he will discover about God as his strength. And so when we look at this psalm, we see his expression of love because he has discovered a God of great depth. You know, he's able to see this God relating to him in so many ways. One faith, one expression of faith where he exercised faith in God, and this God will relate to him in multiple ways, multifaceted. Many layers. Wow. I mean, when you look at David, no wonder he expressed his love to the Lord. If God were to reveal himself in such a way, whoa. I mean, your heart will be full. You'll be, you know, there'll be so much joy within the heart. And he cannot help but express that love to God. Can you see this? And we can see how the Lord was his rock. The Lord was his strength. The Lord was there for him. The Lord was his defense. During the, when Israel became a nation, when they wanted to come up with the Declaration of Independence, they got all the leaders together, and one of the things that the rabbis wanted to be included into the Declaration of Independence for Israel was to include this phrase, the Rock of Israel. Now, during that time, there were also people who were from a secular party, and of course, they opposed to it. So along the way, they thought through it, and finally, they decided that they will include this phrase, the Rock of Israel. And the reason why they decided that that's possible, because the word, the phrase, the Rock of Israel can either refer to God or the land of Israel, right? The Rock of Israel can also be a reference to the land of Israel. So Ben Gurion, he said, each of us, in his own way, believe in the Rock of Israel as he conceives it. So they decided, okay, we will put this phrase, the Rock of Israel, in the Declaration of Independence. And he said this thing, he said, "I would like to ask one request from all of you. Don't let me put this phrase to a vote. You can vote upon all the other things, but this is the last part where they will include the Rock of Israel, not to be voted on, to just accept it." Okay, and they all decided, yes, we will put this phrase, the rock of Israel, into the Declaration of Independence. And so today, the Declaration of Independence includes this idea, the rock of Israel. Relying on the rock of Israel, they declare this sovereign state, Israel as a sovereign state. And that's something for us to think about, how God is also our rock. How God is the one who has strengthened me, strengthened us. How the Lord strengthened David to fight against Goliath. The Lord delivered and strengthened him when he ran away from Saul in the wilderness. And there are layers and layers of relationship that we can discover. Layers of relationship of love from God. Recently, Ashton had his birthday party. Ashton, for some of you who do not know, is my godson, youngest. And Alex told me, I think about 3-4 weeks ago, before I went to India. When I came back from India, I don't know what was happening. There were too many things on my mind. I forgot about his birthday. It was on a Saturday. I was preparing for the next day. And I had something on that evening as well. So when Alex called me, I couldn't get out of where I was. I apologized to him. I was so sad that evening. Next day, Sunday, I saw Ashton. I went to him, and first thing I did, I was apologize to him. I said, Ashton, I'm so sorry. I gave him the ang pao. A bit more. And I asked him, do you hate God, Pa? You know what he said? God, Pa, how can I hate you? I love you. Oh, I tell you, those were the most beautiful words I heard that day. Ah. And you know, I really appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. And you know, I've learned through the years how to relate to these three kids of Alex and Shuhua. And you realize that there are layers that you can relate even to a child. I really thank God for the three of them. When we relate to God, there are also many layers that we can relate to him, that we can discover. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 23. In 1 Samuel 23, we read of how David was running away from Saul, okay? And Saul almost surrounded him. Okay, and then in 23, verse 28, okay, and just about when Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain, so David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. Then all of a sudden, a messenger came to Saul, saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Just at that moment, when David was surrounded, the Philistines came. And the messenger came at the right time. Hurry, come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. And therefore, Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called the place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. Okay, and we can see how the Lord was there as his rock, as his stronghold. The Lord protected him, the Lord strengthened him, the Lord delivered him. And truly, when we look at our relationship with the Lord, there's truly sufficiency. There's true complete sufficiency in our relationship with God. And that's something for us to think about. Okay? Now, as David discovered God, as David declared his love for the Lord, see, love must cause us to have determinations. Love must cause us to respond in definite ways. And when we look at David, he responded to God in definite ways. Of course, there was that declaration of love. I will love you, O Lord. Okay, he wrote Psalms. David wrote altogether 73 Psalms. And these were all about God. He declared God. He spoke about God. Sure, he wrote about his struggles. But the point of all his Psalms were about God. A God who forgives. A God who is a shield. Psalm 3 is about God being his shield. And all the Psalms, they were all his testimonies of how great God is. Okay, Fanny J. Crosby, she is known as the queen of the gospel songs, queen of the gospel songwriters, and she wrote 8,000 hymns. 8,000 hymns. There's a lot of hymns to write. I don't think Pastor has written 8,000 yet, poems, but I think he's getting there. Very soon he'll get there. Give him another few more years. Okay, and she also wrote 1,000 secular poems. Okay, you know, David also did something that is amazing with out of his heart of love for God. He saved and gave to the building of the temple. Now, turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, One Chronicles 28. Okay. And so David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel. Verse 9, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. What does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? One is to love the Lord with a loyal heart. A sense of loyalty to God with a willing mind, willingness to do His will, to obey His commandments, to be strong and do it. Okay, chapter 29, we read in verse 2, now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, with all His strength, with all His ability, with whatever strength he had, he prepared this huge gift towards the building of God's temple. Okay, 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of silver. Okay, now, how much is that if you work out the sums? One talent is equivalent to about 33 kilograms. Okay? 1 kilogram of gold today is worth about $41,000. If you do the sums, according to my calculations, it is $415 million US dollars for just the gold. Okay, for just the gold is $415 million. Today, gold price is about $1,004. Anybody follow the gold price? $1,003. $1,003 today. Okay. 7,000 talents of silver. How much do you think that is? 1 kilogram of silver is about $900. If you do the sums, it's about $207 million. So all together plus all the other things works up to more than $500 million. That is a huge gift to God. That's a wonderful expression of love to God. David was imperfect. He was sinful. He sinned against God, committed adultery, he murdered Uriah. And yet, he expressed he had a heart of love for God. He set his affection on the house of God. And so he expressed that, not only just in deeds, he also expressed that. You see, love, if we really love the Lord, we will learn to trust him more. Love for God should cause us to trust in him even more. See, God delights when we trust in him, when we have greater trust in him, when we deepen our trust in him. That's love. Love should cause us to trust in him even more. There should be a depth of trust, a special trust in God. In the New Testament, there's two Greek words, that Paul used to describe trust. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I'm not saying that David understood this. I'm just saying that in New Testament, this is how you see trust, how Paul saw trust. Okay? In 2 Corinthians, we read in chapter 1 and in verse 10. Yes, we had a sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Now, the word trust here is the word patho. What it means is it's having strong persuasion that will lead to trusting in God. Okay, can you see that? It's being persuaded to such an extent when we have strong persuasion, we would trust not in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And then in verse 10, you read, who delivered us for so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. And this word now is a different word. It's the word elpizo. And this idea here is trusting with hope in mind. So on one hand, trust is with reference to being, you know, to have strong persuasion that leads to trust. The second idea here is to have a trust that with reference to hope for the future. Okay? And this was something that Paul had. He truly trust in God. That God would, how God had delivered him in the past, that God was delivering him now, and how God would deliver him in the future. Okay, and that's something for us to consider. Do we really trust God? Have we increased our trust in God this year? Have we gone through, you know, the things of this of life this year? And you know, we have seen how God has been there for us. Do we trust God more this year now? Okay, another thing that David did was that, let's go back to Psalm 18, was that he called upon the name of God. This was a God whom he called upon. When he was told that the city of Keilah was attacked, he inquired. He inquired of the Lord, should I go in and help the people in this city? And the Lord said, yes, go. And the Lord guided David. And he inquired again, and the Lord delivered David. The Lord was there for him. Okay? And so the idea of love should cause us to call upon the name of the Lord. Another thing that we should do is that we should praise him. We should call upon him, and we should take the time to praise him. Truly, he is one who is worthy to be praised. I'm sure the worth of his relationship can be seen in so many aspects that God has been there for David, how God has related to him in so many different ways. Therein is his worth. Truly, God is worthy of all praise. One of the things that I've sought to do, especially the last few months, is learning how to praise the Lord even more. There is this verse in Psalm 119 in verse 164 where it says, 7 times a day I will praise you because of your righteous judgments. And I've sought to try to practice that even more. Something I learned years ago, not so easy to practice. But in recent months, I've sought to try to praise the Lord more. When I get up, first thing I think of, do I praise the Lord? Thank God, I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. Taking breakfast. Well, you should praise the Lord. Thank God for the food. During our trip to India, I think pastor have mentioned it, the student pastors have mentioned it, Pastor Mang has mentioned it, how the road trip from Chennai to Andhra Pradesh, 2.5 hours there, 2.5 hours back. It was hot and it was bumpy. My back was killing me. Half the time. So I decided one of the things I would do was to memorize Greek along the way. When you memorize Greek, that's challenging. And so the road trip will not seem so challenging when you memorize Greek. So that's the first thing I did. The second thing I did was that I began to sing along the way. I sang to the Lord in my heart when I was really tired and worn out. I sang. I praised the Lord. I gave thanks to the Lord. There was a song that kept ringing in my ear. How great is our God. I kept singing that song again and again and again and again. And that brought a lot of joy and strength to my own heart. You know, I worshiped the Lord in a hot, stuffy, cramped, in this car in Chennai. On the way back, we were all so tired. I think along the way, we were so tired. I slept for a while, and I got up and I praised the Lord again. You know, at the end of the trip, wow, it was tiring. It was a long trip, but my heart was filled with the Lord. 7 times a day, I will praise you because of your righteous judgment. I really appreciated how David determined within his heart that he would give honor to the Lord and he would give praise to the Lord. How would you express your love to the Lord as we come to the end of the year soon? Have we grown in our love for the Lord? You know, has God been there for you? Has God answered your prayers? Where's Eugene? Well, you know, Eugene, you have many reasons to give thanks to God. You are now a father, and you have a lovely child. Give thanks, offer praise to the Lord every day, every time you change the diaper. No matter how many times, even if it's changing 4 times within an hour, never mind. Every time, Lord, thank you. Thank you for Daniel. praise Him, honor Him. You know, David committed his whole life to writing psalms, giving praise, honoring the Lord. What is our expression to God this year? How can we show, you know, a greater love for the Lord this year? When we look at David, we can see that sense of confidence. As he related to God, as he determined to relate to God even more, there came that confidence that God was going to be there with him in everything that he was going to go through. You know, God was going to be there. God was going to answer his prayer. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 18. And in Psalm 18, we read of how the Lord was going to answer his prayers. Okay? In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came upon him, even to his ears. You know, he had just gone through, you know, he was going through near-death situations. These were dire situations. The pangs of death surrounded me. You know, he was going through a really tough time. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. There were moments of fear. Sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. There were moments of sorrow. The snares of death confronted me in my distress. In his moments of distress, in his moments of fears, in his moments of sorrow, in his moments where he thought he was going to die, in the midst of that, he cried out to God, and God heard him. And the Lord was there for him. My cry came before him, even to his ears. And he knew that God was the one who was there to help him. You know, when God hears your prayers, there should come a greater sense of confidence. Love should cause us to deepen our faith, our trust, our confidence in Him. Love is never just an expression from our hearts in terms of declaration. Love should cause us to go deeper. Our faith in Him should grow stronger. We should go closer to Him. Can you see this? And for David, he expressed his love to the Lord by writing this wonderful psalm. So he was going through a tough time, and God was there for him. The Lord strengthened him. The Lord was there with him. Maybe the Lord has been with you this year. The Lord has strengthened you. The Lord has sustained you. The Lord has been there for you. What is our expression of love to the Lord? Sometimes our expression of love is inadequate. Worse, no expression of love. We take it for granted that this God is always there. He hears our prayers. And then that's it. We don't take that moment to express that love to Him. For David, he will take the time to express that love to Him. In his moment of distress, God was there with him. Just one last passage that I would like you to turn with me. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30. We see how when he was fighting against the Amalekites, when they came and they took captive of the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. And so David and his men came to the city and there was burned with fire. It was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Eugenie, can you imagine if something would happen to Yvette and Daniel at this point of time, they've been kidnapped or something, how would you feel? You know, for David, his two wives, gone. And all the people that were with him, they lifted up their voices, wept until there was no more power to weep. And David's two wives, they were also taken. And now David was greatly distressed. Okay? In this moment when he was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Wow. His fellow companions, his friends, his soldiers. You know what? They wanted to kill him. They were so distraught, they were so grieved, they wanted to kill him. You see, anger, frustration, is at those moments, whoa, his fellow soldiers wanted to kill him. And so David felt great distress. What did he do? I like what he did. In verse 6, we read, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." He took the time to find strength in the Lord. He was all alone. No one was with him. Whom was with him? The Lord. He had no one else to turn to but the Lord. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. The Lord, his God. My God, my strength, I will love you. God was there for him. God strengthened him. God encouraged him. God was there with him at the moment when he needed someone to be there with him. God was there with him and encouraged him. You know, sometimes when you go through life, you know, you can go through it and feel all alone, at moments when everything seems to be crumbling down, what do you do? Give up? No. Those are the moments, those are those special moments where you can find God so much more real, where God can be there for you in a very special way. Where those moments where he encourages you and strengthens you and helps you in that very special way. And so for David, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And the next moment, he said to Abiathar, the priest, please bring the ephod here to me. And so David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all." Wow. So he sought the Lord in prayer. The Lord heard his prayer, and he went, okay, he pursued them. 400 men, 200 men stayed behind. They were so tired, they couldn't go. And so the other 400, they went. And they went, and in verse 17, "Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening and the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels." Of course, camels can run faster. "And they fled. And so David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of this was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all Wow. When God hears our prayers, He, you know what? Therein, all, that's the answer. All was recovered. None was hurt. All was recovered. Okay? And then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, "This is David's spoil." And you can see how in a moment of great distress, where his fellow men wanted to kill him, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And he committed this problem into the hands of the Lord, sought his guidance, and God was there to give guidance. And God heard his prayer. God restored everything. He was able to get back everything. That is truly an answer from God. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to the Lord, and he heard my voice from his temple. My cry came before him, even to his ears. He recovered everything. And you know, when you look at David and what he has experienced, truly, you see a man after God's own heart. And he's able to respond with a deep sense of love for God. You know, I'm going to encourage you this evening. Let's express our love to God. Perhaps God has been good to you this year. God has been there for you. Maybe there were moments when you felt like giving up. Were there moments when you know, everything was seemed to just crumble on you? And you were so discouraged. At that moment, when you prayed, at that moment when you turned to the scriptures, at that moment, God was there with you. And God strengthened you. And God encouraged you. And you found a renewal of strength to just carry on and press on. And you prayed, and God was there to guide you. Were there moments like that? Last night, someone sent me an urgent SMS and said, "You know, can you pray? Can you pray for someone in need?" And straight away, I got on my knees and I wept for this person. And as I prayed, I was very, very conscious that I was praying to a God who can hear and answer prayers when we cried out to Him. Later on, an hour later, a person sent back an SMS. He said, "Thank you. Things are better now." And straight away, I got on my knees and I gave thanks to God and told Him, "I love you, Lord, for answering my prayer." And I was very conscious of teaching this evening. And I'm so deeply challenged, even more, to express my love to the Lord, to praise Him, to trust Him, to do whatever I can as a pastor, to express that love in different ways. This afternoon, I was thinking through something. Should I? Shouldn't I? You know, if I do this, it's actually for myself. If I do this, it's actually for God. And there are times when you think, "Oh, should I do this for myself? Or should I do this for God? I seem to be doing so many things for God. Maybe I should take a bit of time to do it for myself." And finally, I decided, "Lord, I'm going to do this for you. Because I love you. You know, this evening, tell the Lord. Tell him that you love him. Take the time. Take the time this week. Express that love. Take the time. Do something. Show that love. Maybe you haven't been trusting the Lord as you should. Trust him. Trust him more. Maybe you have not praised him. Then take the time. Praise him. I'm looking forward to Christmas time. I'm looking forward to the Christmas concert. I'm not going to sing, but I'm going to be there. If all of you are singing, I'll be praying. All those who are going to be solos, you're not going to be solo. You're not going to be by yourself. You know what? We're going to pray for you. And you praise the Lord. You honor him. And we're going to back you up in prayer. Now let's be challenged this evening to tell the Lord, Lord, I will love you. Oh Lord, my strength. Let's express that love in whatever way we can, as David did. We are imperfect, yes. All of us are imperfect. And yet, we can be like David in the way he expressed his love for God. Let's declare our love for the Lord. Let's have a deeper understanding concerning the Lord. Let's determine within our hearts to express that love in different ways. And let's be doubtless, doubtless in our confidence in this great God. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening we pray and thank you for the example of David. Lord, we see a man truly after your own heart, a man who loved you despite his problems and his sins in his life. Yet we can see a man who desired to love you, to love you and to express that love by praising you, by honoring you as best as he could. Lord, we want to pray that firstly you will forgive us. Forgive us when we do not love you as we should. Lord, we know that you are a God who has done so much for us, and especially by sending this your Son to die for us. And sometimes we take all these things for granted. So we ask for your forgiveness. And we pray, dear Father, that we can learn to love you and to love you more by expressing that love and by trusting you, by relating to you, by praising you. 7 times a day, we can praise you and honor you. And we ask, dear Father, that you will bless us. Once again, we pray, dear Father, for those who are not well, and we commit them into your hands. And we pray, dear Father, that you will watch over them. And we pray that you will bless us as we leave here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this evening. Good night, and God bless.